Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Christian and I grew up near a water source called the Mill River in Connecticut. One summer, I got really into crabbing. I got this crab net, and at low tide, I went to the Mill River and I caught some bunch of crab, a whole mess of them, as Mom would say.
You got some crabs?
I got some crabs. Insert your own joke here.
Well, I don't get the joke.
Well, no, I don't either. But I'm saying maybe people might have a crab joke just about the animal. And so I put them in a bucket, and my mother steamed them up. We ate them that night. I don't know. There's this primal feeling of being like resourceful and like doing. Procuring food with your hands, you know, like, and that I had done this. I felt very accomplished. And a couple weeks later, there was an article, big story in our hometown about how the Mill River was being polluted and was toxic, and that under no circumstances should you eat anything in the river, especially something like a crab or a mollusk.
Any shellfish.
Any shellfish, because they're the ones that filter out all those toxins. That's kind of how they feed.
Right.
So, it was a couple weeks.
But happy ending. You live to talk about it.
At this point, yeah. Still alive and nothing that we know of that caused any long-term effects. So you're right.
I love happy endings. Wait, let's do the show.
Okay, yeah, but not time. Okay.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
You're listening to Life is Short. I'm your host, who hates double entendres, Justin Long.
Be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboo.
With me, as always, is my equally...
I love double entendres.
You do?
I love saying double entendre.
I hate saying that. Don't you hate saying... It's hard to say
You don't
French...
like saying any French things.
I know. I was just going
to
say that.
You both have to not like saying French things.
Well, because...
Nothing against French.
Not at all.
It's a beautiful language.
That's the kind of the thing. It's so beautiful that...
You don't feel worthy.
I don't feel worthy. And it's also like, it sounds so... it has a
That's
sound.
That's British.
No, I know. I don't want to What's that? I'm trying to think of another French word, that double entendre. I like to pronounce...
Chaise lounge.
Chaise lounge. Because... If to pronounce it properly, it sounds in English, in America, it's for an
Names,
American.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying. It
Name
sounds
some
pretentious.
Mustards. Name some mustards.
Dijon.
Dijon.
And you should say Dijon, but Dijon.
Grey Poupon.
Yeah. It's the same way I don't want to pronounce. I know that it's P-H-O is pronounced pho.
Pho.
I know that. I just feel like a turd saying it.
Why are we talking about
wait.
French people?
Wait, sorry. I was going to say about French words. Croissant. Remember the other day you shamed me for
croissant.
Well, what did I say?
You really leaned into the French.
I did.
Yeah, you're like you're like croissant.
Yeah, well, you made fun of me. Maybe that's why I shy away from French-sounding words like double entendre.
It's my fault.
Why are we talking about?
Because our guest today isn't French.
Yeah,
but French. France has one of the great cuisines of the world.
Speaking of food and different cuisine, our guest today, well, is, I would say, our mother's favorite. Easily, right? Favorite guest.
That we've had?
Yeah.
Well, except for Grandma Jody.
Of
but
course.
Second yeah. favorite.
Second favorite. Our guest is Rachel Ray. She doesn't call herself a chef, so I hesitate to say that. So I shouldn't. She is a cooking personality you've been in the zeitgeist for a long time.
Yeah, cooking personality doesn't sound
I know. It sounds
respectful enough.
No, I know. It sounds like belittling.
She's like a mogul, I would say. She's like she's an entrepreneur.
Now that sounds too like business related, but she is.
She is.
Yeah,
she has a lot of businesses.
She does, to me that sounds kind of like evil, not like a villain, like a businessman would be a
right.
I don't know. But she's also a philanthropist. We get into all of it. You know her. I feel like she doesn't really need an introduction. She's one of those guests.
Well, we're doing it. She has a show.
That's true. And we have a show.
She has a show called The Rachel Ray Show that she has been doing from her home in upstate New York since the pandemic began. So people know her from that show. But also
know her from her town that she lives in, probably.
What?
It's just that they know her.
Right. And also, she is she's a famous chef, and she was on the forefront of the fast cooking movement,
easy
like
meals.
The 30-minute meal movement. She was really spearheaded that.
That's a movement that we really love because we've been cooking a lot in over the last year, and we've talked about a bunch. And it's so nice to have those. I understand why she became so popular, because those meals are really popular and good to tell people about. But also, like, she's a really fun personality.
Yeah, she's bringing cooking and many other things to the masses.
Yes.
And a lot of, like you said, a lot of charitable works. And you were on her show many years ago. And when you were on her show, you had our mother on as well.
Yes, and it was a huge thrill for Wendy. And so that's why she was. And my mother always talks about me going back. When are you going back on Rachel Ray? And I thought, well, they got to invite, you know, there's a protocol here. I can't just show up on the show.
Right.
So my mother was, yeah, she was thrilled that day. She was fun. And my mom, our mom was an actress. And so she's used to being on camera. She's comfortable in that setting. But for some reason, when she was on the show, she really liked, she was like a giddy deer in headlights. Remember that?
Yeah, she absolutely loves Rachel Ray and has adopted a lot of her buzzwords.
Like, that's right.
Evu, uh-huh. That's nutrish and delish. And
yeah.
She's sounding a lot more like Rachel Ray over the years, and because she really looks up to her. And our mother, in her own right, is a brilliant cook, so I don't want to diminish her by any means. But she really likes Rachel Ray, and I think we should all hear from Rachel Ray, and to, so we can better understand why she likes her so much.
Yeah, this will help you understand Wendy, our mother. Oh, and one thing we should mention is that at some point during this interview, her husband John joins, and it happened organically.
But when you hear another man's voice that's not yours,
yeah.
That's not Justin's, rather.
It might throw you a little bit.
Know that that's her husband.
Yes, he just kind of came into the Zoom. Sometimes I forget that people aren't watching this. I had the experience.
I thought you were trying to say he came to the room and you stumbled into accidentally saying Zoom.
Oh,
but
oh,
you
really?
Said he came into the Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird. That's so common
now. Part
in
of
our
vernacular. Yeah, my God.
He came to the Zoom. You said it so casually.
Oh, my God. God, how I was talking today about how much has changed, how much of our behavior has changed because of this pandemic. And not in like dire ways, not in like, you know, obviously there's that, the life and death element. The tragic element, the heavier elements. But like just in simple, simpler ways, just the way we're handshaking and interacting. But that's another one that I hadn't considered. It's affecting our language.
Huh. Yeah. Food for thought.
Yeah. Speaking of food and thought, my catch-up with America's culinary sweetheart, Rachel Ray.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do-do-do-do-shaboom.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, ooh. This ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up, we'll meet again.
I cry often, I have to say, especially in the last year. It's been a hard one for us.
Yeah.
I cry a lot, but I don't cry over injury.
Nor do I was going to say pain.
People that grow up in kitchens don't cry over injuries. We just work through them.
Yeah.
It's the way you're raised.
What's the gnarliest one that comes to mind that you had?
I have burned off this entire quarter of my hand. I've cut off both of my first fingers and glued them back on with literally crazy glue on this one.
I've broken both
of my pinkies. I broke this thumb just last week.
Jesus, all from cooking?
Yeah. When you're in a kitchen, you just keep going. I ripped off. My father-in-law was coming here. I'm in the Adirondack Mountains. My father-in-law was coming here one time and I was carrying in wood, just like John. It was a wood injury.
Yeah.
But I was only wearing flip-flops and I tripped and I hit the stone step in such a way that my entire right big toe toenail ripped off backwards and blood hurting straight up.
Yep.
I had to stick my foot in a bucket of ice, cauterize the wound with salt, wrap it, and continue to roll meatballs for the family dinner.
Nope. Are you in trauma? Are you sweating? What's happening to you physiologically? How do you go on?
You just do it, man. I cry over what's on the inside and what's
too.
In my head.
Yeah.
I don't cry over physical injury. Like, I've been in car crashes and still went to work that day.
Wow.
I was covered in gasoline, flipped my truck. The axle broke on the bottom of my truck. The car flipped so hard. And I had a cheese order coming in. And I called my mother, who lived, you know, a few miles away. And I literally had my mom drive me to work so that I could check in the cheese order.
Well, that's all the time we have. Thanks, Rachel. This has been wow. I'm still hung up on the fingers being crazy glued back on. Were you being literal? You cut off part of your finger and.
I cut off part of my finger on my first day at Food Network 22 or so years ago. Day of the daytime show, both. And that's how I knew what to do on the first day of the daytime show. I wasn't even chopping food. I was talking with my hands and I had a factory sharp Santoku chef knife. And I was talking with my hands and I literally cut off the tip of my finger.
Oh, just gesticulating.
God. Just talking. Yep. And so I flipped it back over. And they tried Nu Skin, it didn't work. And I literally took crazy glue and crazy glued my finger and they put a little powder on it and I made three shows.
Good Lord. And you got the cheese back the show. So it's all about the job. It's all about the, I got to cook something. I have people coming over. This is a toe.
It's just, you know, my grandfather, when I was a little girl, lived with us, and he was my caretaker. He was my best friend when I was really little.
Yeah.
And my grandfather, whenever I would get upset or throw a fit, he would make fun of me. He would laugh in my face.
Huh.
Literally laugh in my face.
That's
until I would stop crying.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And tickle me and push my hair back. And every time I'd cry more or do the, he would literally just get in my face and laugh. And he taught me when I was very small that there are so many things in life that will bring you real pain. Save your tears. And when it is your choice, laugh, don't cry. It's
I love that.
A great lesson. And I've used it my whole life.
It's
the
a
first
great
time
lesson.
I remember that was when I went to school and he taught me how to read and he was very proud of it. He came here as the four of 14. The four youngest came to America.
Wow.
And my grandpa was a stonemason, the main cook for his family, and he had 10 children.
Wow.
My mother was the first of the 10. Very tough, strong, smart, beautiful human.
And
Emmanuel.
From
Manuel Escudero.
From Italy. Okay.
And He was my best friend. He would let me sit on his lap when they played Tre Sette, Three Sevens, or Scopa, all the Italian card games with the Runzo boys. He was very animated. He would read Oggi in Italia, and he would recreate fake. There was no, cable, everything. Football games. You couldn't watch soccer, from Europe and America. So he'd read the paper as if you were watching it on the television for his friends.
Oh,
and
wow.
Reenact the game.
And then just have me.
He was so animated, and he'd say what happened to each character. And I remember the smell of his pipe and his flannel shirt sitting on his lap. He was very proud that he taught himself to read in English. And he read every book he could get his hands on. And we had a beautiful library of my grandpa's books. And some of them burned in my house. We lost our home this past year.
I heard.
And it was the biggest heartbreak of my life to lose my mom's handwriting and books that my grandpa had read to me when I was a girl. He was very proud of becoming an American. And he really was very proud of teaching me how to read in English. So when I went to school, he made me wear a dress, which I hated. I hated wearing dresses. I would only wear dresses for the Tom Jones show because I thought Tom could see me. My grandpa made me wear a dress, and I had to wear my good shoes. And I brought with me the book that we were reading together at home. My teacher took the book away because the other children didn't know how to read yet. So she took the book away. And then I got very upset about that. And then all the kids made fun of me because I was wearing Sunday clothes. I was wearing a dress and nice shoes. So then I was upset because nobody liked me. And then it really hit the fan when we went to lunch because my grandpa always made my lunch. And our favorite lunch was sardine sandwiches with onions and olive oil.
What?
You can imagine how popular.
Oh, yeah. You're already two strikes in. Uh-huh. Holy shit.
There's a chapter I wrote a kind of a mashup memoir cookbook called 50 when I turned 50. And I wrote a chapter called Sardine Sandwiches Make No Friends. It was so tragic.
With a hard-boiled egg, an old egg for dessert. It's just been ruminating. That's crazy. What, do you still enjoy stuff like that? I mean, you must still like
that. I love sardine sandwiches. And when I went home, I was crying and hysterical. And I said I was never going back. And that's the first time I remember him making fun of me.
Oh,
and
funny.
Just laughing in my face. And the more hysterical I got, the harder he would laugh. And then he went and got a cold cloth and put it on my head. He took off the fancy shoes and he made me stretch out and he had me count my fingers and my toes. And he held my hands up and he said, how many fingers, how many digits do you have? 10. How many toes do you have? 10. And then he hit my forehead with the palm of his hand and he said, and what's in there? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you have? What do you keep in there? My brain. He said, okay, so we have 10 fingers. We have 10 toes. Mm. We have a brain. Mm. What are you crying about?
Yeah.
So you know how to read and the other children don't? Good for you. And we can read when you come home every night.
Wow.
And, you don't want to wear dresses anymore? Okay, tomorrow you can wear, he would say in English, dungarees.
Uh-huh.
He was Italian. He used everything was very alliterated.
Yes, dungarees. So,
you can wear your dungarees and they don't like your lunch. Tomorrow you can have school lunch. Whatever they're eating, you can eat. We won't make lunch. You can decide what you want for lunch.
Wow.
So really, what's the problem? So that's the way I think. I don't cry about
what an amazing
thing that's smart or when I cut myself. But I cry very easily about everything else.
Well.
I cry commercials that I find charming.
That's,
you know,
we used to tease my mom, who, by the way, is your biggest fan.
Wendy, how's Wendy? Kennedy.
Oh, she's going to lose her mind that you remembered her name.
She came with you.
Yes. Oh, man. Yes. She loved it. I swear, Rachel, when I told her you were the guest today, it was like she lit up. I mean, the pride that she started beaming. So I thank you. And when she got to be on your show, it was another huge thing for me because I got to, you know, make her proud. You are the high watermark. And so I can't thank you enough. Yeah, anytime. I also love your show. I just love what you do on it. You're such a relaxed, fun environment. It must be hard to not be doing it. It must be hard to be doing it in such a different way now.
That is a very loaded question.
Yeah. yeah. It's not hard.
This show has been just the two of us on this end, just myself and John, yeah, for literally a year and a day.
Wow.
At the time that we're talking, yeah, about, yesterday was the 1 year watermark of that.
Isn't that crazy?
And when we came here to the Adirondacks from New York City, the first thing that happened, we had to just reinvent our lives. The first thing I lost was my privacy. I've always been a person who rolled, and you know this because you've been there, as loosey-goosey, mm-hmm, no blue cards, just have a conversation as was possible.
Mm-hmm.
But my space here was where I would write or paint or read or, you know, just relax, yeah, and just bring people in my world.
Sure.
You know, my very close friends.
It's sacred.
And my family. So the idea that, excuse me, the idea that I would now have to open that part of my life, mm-hmm, to everyone was a really big one for me. The first show where I said, "Welcome to our home," I burst into tears. I was crying because it was such a hard line to
cross. I bet.
And to not be in hair and makeup, yeah, and nice clothes and, you know,
vulnerable,
whatever, and completely like naked to the world, like all your shit on your counter, yeah, and the way, you know,
even
this
though
is your house,
it's beautiful,
you know?
I'm looking at it right now. I mean, it's just
oh,
like,
this isn't my house.
Oh,
So then our dog, who had cancer, she was 15 years old. She also had a catastrophic back injury when she was 13.
God,
that she was still battling. She was at the end of her life.
Uh-huh.
But because we were in a pandemic, we got to be with her every minute of those last few months, mm-hmm, the end of her life.
Mm.
So I had to convert my house into basically a place to make television. So I had to rebuild the pantry for what we would do for a TV show, right, versus what I would do in life. Open up the house, and we were taking care of Isabu around the clock. So it was a very raw time. And then Isabu passed. But she passed in my arms in her own backyard, and John played her banjo all morning.
Oh.
That was her favorite instrument. My husband plays just about every instrument.
Wow. That's really a tough one to play. Wow.
And she had a beautiful
passing. And she would respond to the banjo, Rachel? She would respond differently?
Oh, absolutely. Weird. She would put her head into the sky.
Oh, my God.
And just rock back and forth. She loved it so much.
Wow.
She just loved it. And she passed in my arms, and I was talking to her when she left this world. And I thought to myself how grateful I was.
Mm-hmm.
How grateful I was to have a job. How grateful I was to be at home with her. And how grateful I was to be able to spend time with her when the world was dying, mm-hmm, literally suffering.
Mm.
Thousands and thousands of people in Italy singing into the night out of pain and sorrow, bodies being stacked in trucks all over the planet. Mm. You know, it was just so mind blowing.
Yeah.
But I came to this place of like, wow, this is a really good thing too. Because look, I got to be with her. Look, I still have a job. Look, we have so much to be grateful for. And then literally, we went on break from the show after Isabu passed, and then our house burned down.
Oh my God.
The fireplace burped. The fireplace had creosote, even though we had the fireplace cleaned twice a year, like you're supposed to, whatever. It had creosote, the buildup, okay, yeah, from inside the chimney, spit onto the roof, and a guy on an ATV going through the woods saw our roof on fire and came running into our backyard screaming, house is on fire. Your house is on fire. And we had just adopted a rescue from the Carolinas, Bella Boo, who's our 80-pound, very large puppy now.
Wow.
She,
Bella Big.
It was Bella Boo. It was her first couple of days in our home. And then that whole house burned down. It burned for 2 days. I watched.
Wow.
And we came across to here. This is the guest house that we only built 2 years ago. That was our home for 15 years.
Holy shit.
We built this place for our friends, and I made it because I drew that house.
Uh-huh.
I literally drew that house.
Oh, my God.
And this house was made to be a tiny one of that. It has one great room and one bedroom. That's it. This is literally a guest house. It's a mini of my house.
From what I can see, it's still gorgeous. I mean, the beams
It's very tall, but it's very small. It's one great room and then a little hallway.
Wow.
And one bedroom, no bathtubs, one shower. Like, you know, it's a pretty small place. I just make it look big.
Latrine.
Yes, there's a latrine. We do have running water.
It's a dumb waiter situation in a bucket. I don't want to get into it.
We came across the street. I was in my flip-flops. John was in boat shoes. We had nothing but the clothes on our back.
Holy cow.
And our little puppy. And we watched our house burn for 2 days. It burned for 2 days.
I don't understand were they not attempting to put it out, or was it just too out of control?
No, everyone came from, firefighters and first responders came from all over, but we live on a mountain. We have well water.
Oh, wow.
It takes a really long time to get trucks with water that will be strong enough to put out a fire. And they put out the fire by kind of the middle of the night, but then there was a pocket that lit back up the next day. So they brought more people and a couple of trucks, much smaller crew, but a couple of trucks the next day. And then after the house burned down, you have to have it assessed, and the insurance people, all the investigators, so that goes on. I go back to work 4 days later, and I teach a 10,000 person class, literally 10,000 people from all over the planet for a kids' cooking camp.
Wow.
So I go back to work immediately, as quick as I can. But, you know, it's.
How do you do that emotion? Yeah, mentally. I mean, how do you get.
And then when they started taking away the house, right down to the hole in the ground. Every time I do interviews, I have to sit on this side of the corner.
You're staring right at it.
I'm staring at the trucks, and it went on for 10, 12 days.
Oh, boy.
I watched truck after truck go by. Everything I had put in there for 50 years of my life just going past the window. I had the house for 15, but of course everything in it was stuff that was
your whole life. Well, Rachel, were you able to get in there at any point? I mean, like, frantic right before it became engulfed.
I ran upstairs to try and take a few things. My mom's letters, all the letters she had written me.
Yeah.
She has very bad macular degeneration. And she has trouble writing. She can't see. She's blind in the middle. So I wanted to get my mom's letters, my mom's high school ring.
Yeah.
I wanted to get our medicines. Little.
I wouldn't know what to go to.
Upstairs when we went outside and saw that the roof was on fire, I ran upstairs to try and get a few things. But I heard in the wall, I heard the fire going through the wall.
God.
And I knew that it was going to come through that wall because I've had all these fake fire training drills. I am the first female board member, no longer the only, but I was the first female board member of Dennis Leary Firefighter Foundation. And every year I suit up and I go through these drills where you're put into live fires and you're with firefighters and they tell you everything about what live fire is. So when I heard the fire in the wall going through the electrical, I knew it was spreading through the roof down all of the electrical system. And I knew that the wall in my bedroom was literally going to backdraft and blow up into the room. I turned around immediately and started running back down the stairs, and I was met face to face with a firefighter in his full mask. The man that had come to tell us that our house was on fire had already called them. And John was trying to call them downstairs, but this person had already told them. And he's like, get out, get out, get out. And I'm like, I'm trying to move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They must have been like frantic. They must have been, I mean, and then when you see their reaction, you must then think, okay, this is like, but you already knew. You knew that the house was going up like that.
I knew it was going. I just wanted to get those few things, you know, the letters, my mom's ring, all that. But, you know, it was such a delayed reaction. My husband didn't cry about it until his birthday, which was about 2.5 weeks later. And he had like a total breakdown. And it hit me. Our birthdays are a week apart. We're both in late August and our house burned on August 9th. It hit me just a little before him, but it was such a delayed reaction. And it really was waking up in the middle of the night and realizing I didn't have Mama's letters anymore. And, you know, she is just such a resilient lady. I was so happy the fire didn't go down the hill. She lives across the street from me in my old cabin. And I told Mama how upset I was about the letters, as she really can't see in the middle. So now she started writing me, like literally blind writing.
Oh my God.
So that I can start the collection
That's
again.
That's really so sweet. That's beautiful.
It's so beautiful. She's trying so hard. It's so sweet. For Valentine's Day, She's scribbling all over the card.
It looks like hieroglyphics.
Very beautiful penmanship. Yeah, they don't even teach cursive writing anymore.
Oh, so. They don't.
It's a lost art. Do, 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 shaboom.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled BABBEL.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply. Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and
we'll meet again.
you sound like you're like me in that I'm very nostalgic. I also have a terrible memory, Rachel. So I save those things from childhood that because they're like a talisman for my memory. Like I need them to spark these precious memories that like are so faint and getting fainter to me. So I can't imagine that kind of loss. And like you mentioned your grandfather, how close you were and to lose that. What were you able to save? Anything?
You know, we really don't know because when the fire happens, they send in remediators. They send in all the folks and it's their job to figure that out.
Oh.
It's going to be like a surprise box.
Oh, that's cool.
Everybody's doing the best they can to fix something or photograph it and make an image of what was left of it.
Yeah.
If it's not salvageable in some other way. And people have lost so much more.
Yeah.
I just feel silly even.
No.
You know, whatever they give us back, great.
It's
and
not
whatever
silly.
They don't, we'll just make some new memories.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the other part of what we've learned out of this year. It became so cathartic to be able to share with everyone what we went through and to do our show in a different way. I asked my friends in the city, our producers and the folks that work in the control room to help us make a show out of an iPhone and a computer.
Wow.
You know, I said, can we focus just more on, we've always done these stories, but can we do like a lot or like every show? Can we just focus on real people and how they're solving problems and dealing? And, you know, the whole world is not only suffering a pandemic and everything we went through with the social unrest and finally people noticing the inequities at every level.
It churned up a lot.
All of them train wrecking together.
Yeah.
And then not having national direction, not having state, federal, or even local support to get through this. I said, can we just do more and more of people that are solving that problem instead of waiting for the local, state, or federal government?
What?
Let's show stories of people that are pivoting.
I love
feeding
that.
Feeding others, keeping their businesses alive however they can, and here's how.
Yeah.
And feeding their neighbors and getting kids still into the process of learning, getting people still into reading books and listening to each other. So we've been doing...
That's really cool, Richard.
So much of that programming, and this has been, in many ways, the most fruitful year of our lives.
Yeah,
and I also
interesting?
Wrote a book about it.
Wow.
I wrote a book about the whole experience.
And is that out? Is that coming out?
No, it'll come out in the fall.
Oh, good.
I delivered it on New Year's Day.
Okay.
And my husband created a new band, Fastest Land Animal.
By the way, next time you have Drew Barrymore on your show, you got to ask her about when her house, I don't know if you know this story.
I have talked to her about it.
Yeah.
I love Drew and she went through the same thing.
And she laughed that night, according to her and Tom were like able to, I mean, they had a moment where they're watching it burn. It's like, she said the same thing. It's like, what can you do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the waves of emotion that we each of us had, it was really about when we thought of specific things.
Yes, yes, yes.
It wasn't the house itself or furniture or expensive stuff. It was like the sentimental.
Of course.
Like John really got freaked out because he had compiled his songbook for like decades. John's a lawyer by day, but he's a musician by soul and heart. And all he loves is music.
So all that stuff was gone.
It's everything.
So it took me about 10 years to compile all my music charts. I had them in like three ring binders.
He plays every
rock nerd.
Like, it's incredible.
And they're like all gone now. That's, you know, like you just think like.
It was a huge master songbook of all my God. Of his arrangements and everything.
Oh, fuck. So, John, do you think it's now, like, so does bad. It force you, because I've never had dealt with that kind of loss. Does it force you to just be like, well, what are you going to do? I mean, like all that time, it's not like it was for naught. It's not like you enjoyed putting all that stuff together. But now, does it make you look at things differently? Like you're in this house now, this smaller thing. Does it make you look at the necessities a little differently and like what you really need to be happy?
Yeah, I mean, you just it, things kind of hit you randomly. Like you'll be like, "Oh, I'm gonna put on this thing or wear this thing or use this thing," and then you're like, "Oh yeah, that's gone." So it's a little, it's kind of like someone pulled the tablecloth out from under you.
Yeah.
But I mean, the most important thing is no one died.
I think we got to the point where we're just like, oh well, so what?
We're alive. We can laugh.
Most of the stuff you can replace. Obviously, her mom's letters are irreplaceable.
Well, and she's trying to replace them.
But I think that you pivoted by making the new band,
right? Like,
when you know you found an outlet.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote a book. You wrote an album. Like you did.
Yeah.
You worked through it, I think, in your head by creating something new for yourself.
And did you, John? Did you record that in the house? Were you able to?
Yeah, we did it remotely. I have a little recording studio up here, and everyone else in the band has their own little studios. We're all over the country. Uh-huh,
that's so cool.
So we were able to, through a combination of Zoom and a music program called Audio Movers, we were able to rehearse and record remotely. And it was actually kind of easy. It was actually easier than going to a studio and doing it live, because normally, you know, you go to a studio, the drummer's going to be sitting there EQing his kick drum, you know, with the producer for the engineer for like 8 hours.
Uh-huh. Just really indulgent.
Sitting there playing video games, sitting on the couch in the lounge. So this way we could all be at home.
He's like, get down to business.
Hey, yeah, let's do this. And then we take a day or two off while whoever was doing their part would work on their part and come back. We listen to it and be like, cool, let's do this next part.
That's so cool.
And John was very, very lucky. Well, we both are, because we both care so much about all the instruments. An entirely separate building from our home was the garage. And above the garage was the studio.
Oh.
And I drew the house and I said, can we make like a little covered walkway? So we had this connector between the house and the garage. This long hallway. It burned all the way up to the door. All the way up to the door. And it stopped.
And when that
didn't burn the studio.
So
studio managed to survive.
So John, when that's happening, obviously you must be watching it. You must be like, oh fuck. Like
we were watching all night long.
All night?
You know, like I didn't grab a lot of stuff because I'm like, whatever, we'll have a little bit of a fire damage and we'll go up and get our stuff, you know, tomorrow. But then like it kept going and going. And we were from like 8 o'clock at night to like 1 o'clock in the morning. We're watching as this fire is engulfing our house.
And are you like, are you running around thinking like, oh, I'm just imagining trying to get buckets of water or trying to do practical things. But
they won't let you. By then, there were so many guys up there.
Oh.
And we had a little puppy, a tiny rescue puppy that had already been in a kill shelter
Bellaboo.
In two foster homes.
Yeah.
A little tiny puppy that had been in, you know, horrible circumstances already.
That puppy really going back up that hill.
No one would let you back in there.
I also can't help but think maybe you shouldn't wear flip-flops anymore. You just told two horrible stories that both involve flip-flops.
It was August. You know?
I've been in pretty solid Sorrels.
Okay. How about Crocs? Are you a fan of Crocs?
I look like I was going to go dine at Margaritaville.
John was in shorts and like dock shoes.
Yeah, my brother and I, we call those people ruddy-faced pleasure hounds. So we just got back from Naples. You know them. You know the type. They love Jimmy Buffett. They're a little ruddy from the sun, maybe a little alcohol, too much alcohol. And they're pleasure hounds. They just like soak it in. That's who I am all summer, by the way. I also love that you adopted another dog. You had a brief mourning period, but you have an incredible organization.
Oh, immediately. There's no, my first girl was Boo, and I found her in the Penny Saver. It was an open letter in the Penny Saver, which is like the local, like buy motorcycles or old TVs or junk. Right. And
someone thought Boo was junk.
No.
Sad.
Boo was my first dog.
Uh-huh.
And the letter was a woman who was pregnant and she was worried that the dog would be too rambunctious.
Oh, yeah.
And she she wasn't planning on having another baby, and she had a small pit bull, and she was worried because pit bulls always get put down if they go to a shelter. So she wrote this open letter, and I drove out in my truck, and I brought Boo home with me that night. And John met Boo towards the end of her life. He knew Boo for like 2 years. Then we got Isaboo together. My favorite name is Isabella. And I don't have human kids. We didn't get married until I was 37. He was 38. I started a television show, a magazine, a brand, and we adopted Isaboo all in 1 year. So Isaboo
wasn't. That's it.
And so Isaboo became like the center of our world. And I changed it to Isaboo instead of Isabella so I could always remember Boo.
Yeah.
And when we lost Isaboo, she's buried in our orchard there where she loved to play apple ball. She would catch apples.
And just crunch on them right away.
Yeah, she crunch on
them
right away.
Was she delicate with them? Would she try to treat them like a ball? Oh, no.
She was a monster with them.
Big jaw, big tongue.
Pit bull, right?
She's like a... She's like a big red-nosed pit bull with a jaw like a crocodile.
Yeah.
And a tongue like Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
And she would slobber all over it and spit it out and then pop up again and wait for her next pop-up of apple ball. Right?
Oh, cute.
There are a couple apple trees. So she's in the apple orchard. And the second she passed, John and I said, we have to talk to our friends. We created our brand to support paying it forward in life.
I know.
First human beings with our Yummo initiative for kids. And then we created our animal food to support non-kill shelters and rescue animals that are in kill shelters.
That's amazing. It's to date, you can't say this because it'd be bragging, but I can. It's amazing. You've raised over $65 million to help animals in need. And
We've given away more than 70 just for animals.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
65, 70, something like
Let's say 70.
Just for the animal food. But the human stuff, all the pots and pans and stuff, it's less, but we've been doing that longer. It's just that people buy more dog food than they do pots and pans.
Right. Well, my mother's...
So our human initiative hasn't quite
taken off. Well, the Yummo organization, I should say, it's also just during COVID, you've raised over $4 million for COVID relief. So you're helping, the animals and the humans. Yummo organization. So how can people donate, or it's just about buying those products?
No. It's just anything I didn't want to do that because we did one event and the cost of the event took away so much of the money. Stupid.
Just buy new
food. And pots and pans. Our brand supports Yummo. That's the human initiative.
Okay.
And Nutrish, that money is for the animal rescue.
Okay.
But now we put it under one big blanket. The $4 million we gave away was just this one year for specifically COVID relief.
That was at the beginning of pandemic.
Wow. But that was targeted for just literally targeted only for COVID
for
relief.
COVID.
But all the constantly, everything that we sell, a pot, a pan, a kitchen cloth, whatever, it goes to fund improving public school food, scholarships for public school kids who want to go into anything that's even remotely food or nutrition related, and to feed the hungry as long as we still have them. And unfortunately, over the last 5 years, it's become an enormous relief effort. Our largest partner now is probably Jose Andres and World Central Kitchen. Because we've had to do so much just relief of natural disaster to give people literally water and food.
Right, God.
What was originally designed to be all about nutrition and improving school food has now become largely in the last several years,
emergency
funds for food and water, literally.
I do stuff with No Kid Hungry. And I remember a couple of years ago when they would say it was 1 in 6 kids were food insecure, which is a horrible number. But this year, I think it's climbed to 1 in 4. I mean, it's closer to 1 in 4 in this country.
It absolutely has. And they are partners of ours for many, many, many years.
Well,
as well. They're wonderful, wonderful people.
Well, Thank you. I mean, thanks for, it's incredible what you're doing. You mentioned school food. What would you say is the number one issue in terms of, what is it something that like, a kind of easy way to just address making school food a lot more nutritious and palatable?
Ask your school in your community what you can do. You know, they will take a garden. They will take a window box. Uh-huh. They will take you giving your time to teach latchkey kids how to make nutritious food after school. They will take your advice. They will listen to you if you say, I'm not happy with what you're feeding my kid. I think that under this administration, and I know Secretary Vilsack a long time, I'm glad he's back. And I think that a lot of the changes that were made in the Obama administration years will be brought back. Mm. Those standards will be reintroduced to our schools. We had come a long way. We had gotten some increases in 10 cents a kid, but it adds up. Mm-hmm. Per day is where we kind of got to there. But I think that a lot of that's going to come back now. I think we're in a really good time. Joel Berg feels our friend and huge advocate for school nutrition. You know, the thing is, people say to me all the time, and I find it really insulting, actually, but people say to me all the time, why do you care about school food? You don't have kids.
I was going to say that.
I'm like, well,
I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm kidding.
I'm an American.
Yeah, of course.
And
you have a big hairy kid.
John is a big kid.
Hurt my finger.
Oh, he did. He got a splinter.
How is your boo-boo, John? I'm sorry I didn't ask about it.
I ate some cheese. I feel better now.
Okay. Well, John.
We all need to care about it, of course, because, it pays into so many things. And we all fight about healthcare costs. Well, you want to know how to lower them?
Right.
Why don't you treat your kids a little better?
Start early, holistically.
Give them a good education, improve our infrastructure in our schools, and we'd all be much happier as a country.
Another shout out to Wendy. I was so lucky to have a mother who prepared. In fact, I have such guilt sometimes, Rachel, about, I think back to some of those lunches she prepared, like really painstaking, like healthy, delicious little meals. She'd write notes with her little like curly hair. I love you. You know, and I would sometimes trade these things that took her a while to make and there was love in them. I would trade them for like Twinkies and Ho-Hos and crap, you know, because that's the stuff I wanted because it was like forbidden fruit.
Yes.
You know?
My mom was the same. I mean, not only did I start with sardine sandwiches, but the only cookie my mom ever bought was like a Stella Dora breakfast treat.
But it was
a Pop-Tart.
Oh, right. So it was your grandpa who taught you how to make that stuff. And John, do you ever, I'm curious if you ever do any of the cooking at home, what that is like?
I definitely make all the drinks.
You're an excellent cook. When I first met John,
I can cook.
He told me what he made for dinner the night before, and I was going to set him up with a male friend of mine because he said he wasn't a chef, and I just assumed he was a very handsome gay man. Well,
Justin, later that night, I proved to her.
You did not.
Okay, okay.
You're such a liar.
Well, I'm curious. What do you remember? What he said he made that made you assume?
Absolutely. Well, tell him what you made.
I made tilapia with tomatillos.
Oh.
And I made a mock shoe.
Spilling out of an avocado.
Wow.
I don't know.
Now tell me you wouldn't assume.
At the time, maybe. But I'm now looking at him again, not to generalize, because many gay men are hairy and have this Luke.
I'm a bear.
You're a bear. Yeah, you're an otter, let's say. Maybe more of an otter. You're not. I don't think you're big enough to be a bear.
Probably not big enough to be a bear.
I don't want to offend the bear community. He's not one of us.
What did you make last, Justin?
Well, that's a good question. I've been cooking a lot of these. I shouldn't say this. It's a rival chef, but Jamie Oliver has a 5-ingredient cookbook. Do you know this?
Great.
Yeah. So I've been really into that. Hedda McKinnon is somebody I really like. Your stuff, I love burgers, so I want to ask you all about burgers. I know that's your specialty. But I cooked a lamb stir fry, cauliflower mince thing. Yeah, this book has been really invaluable. Tilapia, I'm curious about because I just heard that it is a no-no. They feed them. It's what they feed them is disgusting. they.
Well, St. John's fish was a very cheap fish. That's why people use so much tilapia. Oh. And why a young man with.
Well, this is back in like 2000. A two-room apartment.
Right. I wouldn't have known.
Be making tilapia as opposed to sustainable black cod.
We didn't know these things.
He was poor, and this was a really long time ago.
We didn't have Whole Foods in the neighborhood.
Right. Right. That's right.
I went to like the bodega and picked up whatever was sitting in the freezer.
No, I'm not judging 2000 John. I'm asking 2021.
2000 John's a whole different man.
Oh, forget. I don't want to get into 2000 John. 2000 John, if we get into it, will probably get canceled, and we don't want that.
We'll never see or hear from you again if we talk about 2000 John.
Yeah, no. But 2021 John, are you guys, you strike me as people who are very conscientious about things.
Sure,
like,
I buy my seafood from a place called Lobster Place in Chelsea Market.
Shout
and
out.
They sell only sustainable seafood. I also like Fulton Fish. They ship as well. Warshore's great too.
Yep, they are. Main,
there's right? a lot of people that are terrific purveyors that have great fair prices, and they make
and
the
Chef's
promise
Garden,
that
love.
They only.
Chef's Garden, I've heard.
Chef's Garden is. They have kept us literally alive and our show looking beautiful.
Wow.
For the entire year. We have beautiful gardens, but unfortunately, when the house burned, we lost all of our. Way to irrigate.
Oh,
so our
right.
garden died too. Do you know what a drag that is, man? Your house burns down and you watch your garden die.
Oh, and it was this summer. Wow. It was probably the peak of the.
It was summer. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was going into harvest.
Everything died. There's no way human beings could water, a giant garden like that.
Oh,
like,
I'm so
irrigation.
Oh, Rachel,
but we lost every ability to pump water.
Yeah, I'm so into gardening. I have a little garden, but I love it so much, and I got so into that too this summer that that of all the things you've said and. Of course, the letters and stuff would kill me, but like that would have torn me up to lose after you're cultivating this thing for months and like years.
We would burn and turn the soil.
Oh man, you were really.
John buys all the seed from Italy. It's every year from my dog to me on Mother's Day. I get the seed because we can't plant here.
Why Italy?
Well, because we're both Italian, and Italians make good produce, babe.
Oh, okay. Okay, babe.
Haven't you ever had a nice, juicy Italian tomato? Do, 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 do,
shaboom. If you run an e-commerce business, you know the amount of work it takes to produce something great.
So if you want to optimize your workflow and reduce costs, ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online.
ShipStation's simple dashboard makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service unbelievably easy.
With shipping configurations automatically applied, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online.
Plus, save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation.
ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth.
Go to ShipStation.com and use code LONG to sign up for your free 60-day trial.
That's ShipStation.com, code LONG.
When your work presentations and docs look good, you look good.
Design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva.
Start with a designer-made template and use it as a springboard for your design.
Add images, graphics, charts, and more from Canva's massive media library.
If you feel like you have a lot of ideas, but it's hard to organize them into a succinct format, I can relate.
Yeah, so when we're putting together a pitch deck for a movie idea that we have that we're currently working on, mm-hmm. we're not going to use an old-fashioned deck. We're going to use Canva so our deck really pops. It's a complete game changer. So presenting our creative ideas, it's going to be like never before. We're going to wow people with our decks.
Wow any audience and finish your work faster.
Start designing today at canva.com, designed for work.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
What is your go-to burger, Rachel? If you were having company over, you got the grill going, what would you cook for, like, let's say I was coming over. Let's say we were close enough that, actually invite me over. Wendy's there. She's losing her mind.
You know what a geek I am for you. Come on. Yeah. I think that the burger that John likes the most is my Big Smack, which is my version of a Big Mac. Uh-huh. But he actually prefers it made from Impossible now. And we're not vegetarians.
It's good.
But we love Impossible so much.
Yeah.
And the texture of it. And I actually made the Big Smack, which is my Russian Thousand Island dressing, which is sour cream, Worcestershire, hot sauce, salt, pepper, grated garlic.
Wow.
It's such a delicious dressing. It's all about the dressing. And then the finely chopped super crispy iceberg lettuce all over the minced onions and the pickles. And I every bite has to be the same. So I hand slice the pickles and make the pickles everywhere. Whatever.
God, so I'm so hungry.
I get very geeky about my burgers. Like they have to be just so. But I think that that's the most popular because it's the one that's probably most familiar to people because it almost mirrors like a Big Mac.
Yeah, it tastes like a Big
Mac. I think my dressing is better.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I put the Impossible next to ground beef, and I can't remember if I got it at Dixon or Pat LaFrieda, but it was like the best ground, 80-20.
Wow, no shit.
And John chose.
I did a blind tasting, the Impossible next to the beef, and I picked the Impossible as the beef.
No kidding. Oh, this is great to know. You know, I just talked to Jane, not to brag, but Jane Goodall was just on the show a couple days ago, Dr. Jane. And she, that's the biggest thing. I said, what can we do? You know, because she's really going out of her way to try to change the world. And she said, that is the biggest thing that people can do is if you can't cut out meat completely, eat less meat. So I've been trying to eat less.
That's what we do too.
Yeah.
We are trying to make it much less. And we have so many friends that are pescatarians or vegetarians. And the only way we've been able to socialize at all in over a year is to do cook-alongs. So we cook in everyone's discipline. So, and I try and teach in every discipline, you know? And I try and show on the television show, we made Tuscan meat sauce the other day with Impossible. We made peachy, which a big fat spaghetti and a meat sauce that was no meat. We try and show as much pescatarian and vegetarian and vegan as we can. Without making people feel alienated.
Or forcing an agenda or going about it. And
I try and teach a balance, here.
That's
great. My own mom became a vegetarian at 83.
Really?
It lasted until the pandemic. Now she's a flexitarian.
That's still pretty good. I mean, that's a long time. 83 so during.
She went about 3 years only vegetable. And then the pandemic came and she's stress eating.
Give me some salami and steaks.
No, stress eating.
That's what broke her.
I just want a little bit. Can I just have a bite of meat?
Well, Rachel, what is the thing? What would you say is the thing? Because I know my thing. That would prevent me from going full vegan. The thing that would be the hardest to give up. Because my goal.
I would never be vegan. I could be vegetarian.
Or vegetarian.
Very easily. Yeah. Very easily.
But what's the meat thing?
It wouldn't break my heart a bit.
Really?
I would never be a vegan because I have to have cheese. I have to have actual sheep's milk.
Yeah.
Cow's milk.
I see what you've been through in the name of cheese. You've proven your love, your loyalty to cheese. But so that would be the thing for vegan. But what about what meat would you miss the most? Would it be burgers?
Well, now that I have Impossible, I don't think I would miss burgers.
Oh, that's a great endorsement.
No, seriously. And I have nothing to do with the company whatsoever. Yeah,
not yet.
I love it. Not yet, right?
Yeah.
I could easily live on just seafood. I don't know that there's meat I would miss. I know what John will say. What is the meat you would miss? What is the category of meat you would miss the most, John?
Pork.
Yes. Uh-huh. Pork. John's middle name is... Salami.
Oh, that's better than pork.
I love salami. I love bacon. I love pork chops. I love just
every
pork.
Year.
It could be John Pork Cusimano.
I would give him a bouquet of 12 different salami from all over the world. So a little salamaria that he could carry around.
But I hear Impossible's working on, I'm working on salami.
Yes,
oh, really?
On every product.
Good.
Not
but
an
this
ad.
This year, we don't have room in the fridge anymore because we live in such a much smaller place. So this year, I made roses out of sliced charcuterie.
Oh, my God.
I made roses out of prosciutto and stuff.
That's
and I decorated the
awesome.
Plate like it was a dozen
that's
roses.
That's very romantic and kind of disgusting.
Man, there's nothing like being in Tuscany and having like a plate of thinly sliced like salamis and a glass of Rosso di Montalcino. I mean, that's just.
You know, it's funny when you talk about salami. My first thought, this is disgusting, but I just think about I just think about burps. It makes me think about burps, salami burps. There's nothing. Is there anything worse?
Salami burp. Well, a hot dog burp's pretty bad too.
That's pretty.
I guess it's salami.
Deviled egg burps. Anything to do with like hard boiled eggs.
Yes,
is
that's
like
true.
No bueno on either end.
Because then you get the whole sulfur.
Yeah, that smells like sulfur. Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
sardine onion burp can't be good.
Yes.
I'm picturing your classmates.
So my classmates when I was in kindergarten at Mashpee Central School. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever? Did you end up winning them over? Did you? And how did you? Like, what was your group like? What was your social life like?
The gas crisis came, and then another gas crisis came, and my family closed their restaurants, and we moved, so I didn't have to worry about it after dinner.
Because they were in the Adirondacks, right?
We were in Cape Cod.
Oh,
when
Cape Cod.
I was little, and we moved to the Adirondacks, where I've been since the second half of first grade.
Wow!
Because the gas crisis, we really had two gas crises back to back. And that is how my family's restaurants went out of business. My mom had to go to work. She ran restaurants for another man for 50 years.
Wow.
And she got her job with him when we left Cape Cod. We moved to the Adirondacks when I was in the second half of first grade. When I was at Mashpee, when I came home crying and grandpa was consoling me, that was literally when I was in kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
And we lived in a Yankee barn. Wow. In New Seabury, and I went to Mashpee.
And this is why she, unfortunately for me, is a Red Sox fan.
Oh,
I'm a Yankee fan.
And John's a Yankee fan.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this is like Romeo and Juliet, the
Capulets and the Montagues.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
The bracelets and the Romulus.
But at least yes. you have a girl that likes baseball.
I know. What a fun.
Opening day, April 1st.
Oh, how great. Do you guys go to the games? Do you ever go to Yankee State? Not Fenway.
I go all the time, yeah. I mean,
of course.
Used to.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, we used to. We are hoping to, once again.
I know. I can't wait. I can't wait. So
it's going to be so great.
Yeah.
Seriously, I can't wait. Not only do I go to the games, but when we go to Yankee Stadium, they don't have relish. I can't find relish.
You bring your own relish.
I bring relish.
Oh, really?
Onions.
No
and
kidding.
They don't let you bring in bags. Like you have to bring a fanny pack or something very
small. Oh, yeah.
And I go packing chopped onions.
Accoutrement.
And I have to.
So I'm the same girl I was when I was in kindergarten. I'm the chick who smells like onions.
Yeah, now you just have more confidence.
And I have to hide all these onions in my butt because they don't lay in.
Which can't help the smell.
Yeah.
Which does, if they're fermenting.
I'm her condiment mule when it comes to the Yankee Stadium.
They're fermented anal onions. Now, speaking of fermented anal onions.
It's kimchi.
It's kimchi. Yeah, there are a lot of probiotics in those butt onions. You know, City Field actually has really good food now. They, I think they even have Shake Shack.
They've upgraded, right?
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, they have Shake Shack there.
They have Shake Shack. Not to sell you on the Mets, because I know you're a Yankees fan, but, this is so fun, but I just have a quick little lightning round, speed round question.
I so suck at lightning round.
Okay. Well, I suck at...
John makes fun of me all the time.
I suck at them. Well, and Rachel, it's sort of a sucky lightning round because some of these questions require a little bit more thought. So it's also my fault, and I suck at asking them. What is your most commonly used emoji?
It's the thank you, kind of namaste kind of thing, and the sunglasses, like cool.
Yep.
Cool and thank you, basically. Cool and thank you.
So you do the hands together as,
yes.
I've been doing a lot of that.
Thank you.
Yes, well, there's been a lot of gratitude. Can you imagine having to ask Dr. Jane Goodall that question? I did. I had to.
And what did she say?
Oh, it was she was sweet and lovely about it. Oh, I don't. No, emojis. No, it was, she didn't shame me. She didn't shame me. She could have. I felt shame though. If you could be a professional athlete, what sport would you play?
Baseball, for sure.
Baseball, a particular position?
Well, I did throw from the mound right over the plate to Veritek. It wasn't a heater, but it didn't touch the ground.
But it wasn't a Fauci.
Who did it?
Yeah. Take that, Dr. Fauci. The only thing I can make fun of that impressive person for. If, by the way, I wouldn't reach the mound either. That's because I imagine the pressure must be enormous.
It was incredible. And there was a fire in the hotel that we were staying at the night before. And we literally had to stand in the street for hours.
God,
I barely slept. And I had practiced for months.
I bet.
I went to Gainer's Barn in Clifton Park, New York, and I practiced for months so that I would be able to throw from the mound and it be straight. I took it so seriously, I did not want to wuss out.
Yeah.
And when I went out there, James Taylor was there. He was singing the national anthem. Like, I was trembling.
Oh, my God.
Veritek is down there with his glove, and I'm like, I thought I was going to pass out. I was literally hyperventilating. And, man, it was
good for
dead
you.
On the money.
That is
over
awesome.
The plate. Toyota moment.
Oh.
Wow.
Did you over-celebrate? Do you look back at it like, oh, I geeked out?
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's like winning the World Series.
We got to go to the owner. We got to go inside the Green Monster.
That's awesome.
We got to sit in the with the owners.
Well, that's not as awesome for John.
We drank premium liquor, had nice food.
That's great. God, you guys are fun. if you could have one snack food for the rest of your life, John, I'm curious about your answer too. What would your go-to snack food be?
What do you consider a snack food, man? I consider anything a snack food.
That's true. Well, like, let's say you're on the couch.
You mean like a packaged product?
You're a little stoned.
From Canada, dill pickle, cornichon Lay's, Canadian, please.
Wow. Okay. The little tiny ones.
Pickle Lay's from Canada.
Okay. Wow. Delicious.
My friends in Canada send them to us, and they send John ketchup Pringles.
Oh, no kidding.
They're very good. I mean, my go-to snack is salami.
Right.
It always comes back to the salami.
Yes. You look like you might enjoy a salami. I mean that as a compliment.
Hey-o.
Yeah. Hey-o. Well, I didn't mean that. So you could just eat salami like you're just watching a game and just pop it.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
In fact, I did about 3 seconds before I joined Rachel here.
Oh, really? Oh.
I can always hear him in the pantry. I hear the refrigerated the Russell drawer open. Uh-huh.
Like, I just open the paper thing. Like,
wow. And she's not recoiling. If anything, you guys seem very close physically. She doesn't seem to be recoiling. What is your favorite movie sequel of all time?
Godfather 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
Right. Is that a dumb question?
Godfather 1 and 2, I consider like one film. My favorite screenplay of all time, not that you asked, is Network by Paddy Chayefsky.
Oh.
My favorite cinematically, my favorite film was Lawrence of Arabia. But my favorite film is Godfather 1 and 2. Who? So it would have to be Godfather 2.
Who directed Network? Was that Sidney Lumet?
Lumet.
Okay, wow. You know, I don't think I've ever seen it. I'm embarrassed.
Oh, my God. Don't know Network.
Yeah.
We're going to see you
have to go watch Network today. Before you come on my show, you must watch Network.
Okay.
You hear me?
All right.
Your assignment.
It's a good assignment because I want to watch it. And it's one of those movies where it's been out so long and like I kind of need it to be.
It is brilliant.
It's brilliant. I bet. I've also never seen, I don't even want to tell you, Pretty Woman. I've never seen the entirety of Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's okay.
That's less of a loss.
Okay, all right. What is your go-to? You guys must both love. You strike me as karaoke people. What would be your go-to karaoke songs?
We sing a lot of songs together. When we're in Italy, John always plays with the super group, so there's a couple that I sing with them. You don't have a karaoke song, really, do you?
I haven't done karaoke in a long time, but back when I did karaoke, my show-off song was U2, Pride in the Name of Love.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that's intense.
John has a range, man.
Jesus.
He can sing Zeppelin.
Wow.
Like a choir of angels.
Oh, my God.
Incredible. Sings the hell out of the Beatles, too. Like you,
wow.
There's so many songs that John does covers of with his band for fun.
Oh, cool.
Where I actually prefer his performance.
Oh, wow.
Like, he's amazing.
That's high praise.
What's the one we just did together, honey?
Right Back Where We Started From.
Oh, Right Back Where We Started From. Oh my God. So that's my current favorite.
Okay.
I did quite a good job.
Okay. Okay.
I did quite a good job. It was on our show. I did it with his band.
Oh, cool. Because you
always sing I Got a Feeling by the Beatles.
Yes. He always sings I Got a Feeling by the Beatles. Oh, he crushes it.
I love that. So I was going to ask you, one of the questions is Beatles or the Rolling Stones, if you have a favorite.
Well, Beatles, without Beatles, there'd be nothing else.
Yeah.
But I love, and I hate that. His band does that all the time, like ranking stuff.
Who's better?
Don't rank it.
I know.
I mean, the Stones are great, but
the Stones are amazing, but Beatles. Without the Beatles,
of course.
Like, where are you without the Beatles?
And if you go to a bar and you want to put on a couple, I haven't heard the Beatles in a while. It's been a while. I'm going to put on like a couple Beatles songs. What are the go-tos?
I'm putting on Revolution 9.
Just to like clear out the bar.
Like, yes. Like the 20-minute
sound. Number 9.
Nightmare sounds.
Yes, those dissonant, weird.
Just to empty out the bar because then there's more booze for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Come together.
Who was your – this might be awkward to answer around one another, but who was your – I don't think so. You guys seem comfortable with it. Who was your very first celebrity crush?
Oh, I know yours.
Who
was hers?
Tom Jones, for sure. Oh. I would put on a dress when I was a little girl only because I thought Tom could see me. Right. And the first time he came on my show, he came over for dinner that night and I made him rabbit cacciatore, by the way.
Whoa.
And because rabbit's his favorite dish.
Uh-huh.
And when he came on the show, I couldn't even look at him. And I was sweating so hard. The picture of me like hugging him like this, all you can see is like I'm pitted out.
That's
from
so...
my boobs to my waist. It's so gross.
That'd be a great name for your memoir.
Like freaking like panic sweat everywhere.
Regressed. Isn't that funny, Rachel? I've had that experience with meeting people that I, as a kid, like really like crushed on, and you kind of regress back to
that
childlike.
That's
so funny.
It was so creepy. And when I was a little girl, I was so obsessed with Tom.
That's so weird.
I would put my dress on and I would stand in front of the television and I'd try and mimic every word. I'd try and sing along, but I didn't know what he was saying. And my grandfather would turn his chair around. I called it the blueberry chair. It had blue roses on it, but they looked like blueberries to me. He'd turn his chair around and he would watch me instead of the TV show.
I would. I get it.
I was so hilarious.
I get it. I would too. Yeah, I'd want to watch Tom Jones. I'd rather watch my sweet granddaughter do like a funny enactment.
And my first song that I learned all the words to is Delilah, which is a very violent and misogynistic song. Like it's about a man who stabs a woman and it's all her fault because that bitch was cheating.
Wow.
So I would go around singing Delilah as like a 4-year-old.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It was hilarious.
It's like, bitch, better have my money. What's your favorite fruit?
Oh, wow. That's so tough. Pomegranate, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I love pomegranate.
And very good for you.
I love the flavor of it. I love to cook with it. I love it in salads and cocktails. I love it.
I just learned that technique where you cut it and you hit it with a spoon.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's what you do?
Or water. Yes, you peel it underwater and the thing, it's great.
Floats.
I love pomegranate.
Yeah.
Love pomegranate.
Yeah. Almost done. Who would you want to play you? And John, who do you think should play Rachel? Don't say Salma Hayek, in her biopic. Yeah.
Who wants to watch my life? I'm a waitress and a cook.
Farrah Fawcett Majors, of course.
Uh-huh. It'd be tricky.
Well, that would be hard.
Yep.
She's no longer with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But she's not the person in your mind still. Yeah.
I don't know. I think
who would play you? Bob Schneider looks like your older brother. He could play you, but he's about a foot and a half taller.
Okay.
Right.
I don't think Bob acts. I think he's pretty much just a musician, artist, and sculptor.
But there's often crossover.
Yeah.
Who? While you think about that, do you guys have a favorite Muppet character? When I was a kid, I loved the Muppets. Grown up.
Oh God, I love the Muppets so much. I loved the old man in the balcony. Probably
Statler and Waldorf.
But I loved Beaker, and
I love
the Swedish Chef.
Yeah, of course,
the Swedish Chef. And I love Beaker, and I love the two little Muppets with the telephone too that were on actually the the weekend.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I love those guys.
You know, I love Animal.
I do
and
too.
And I love Kermit too. I mean, Animal. Who doesn't love Kermit?
Of course, it's hard not.
And I made a green bean casserole with Kermit when the Muppet movie came out.
That's cool.
Was on.
And Cookie Monster's been
yes,
on the show.
Yes, and Cookie Monster's been on the show. I love cookies. Yes. But that's Sesame Street.
Right? That's but still a Muppet. I would say anybody who was at the wedding of
he's
Piggy.
He's in the world. Yeah. He's got the googly eyes.
I used to
and he has a little Gonzo in his chicken.
Oh yeah, that's right. The flying and who's that guy who had the flying sardines? You were talking about sardines. New Zealand. Remember that guy? I'm New Zealand. Oh, I love him. You know, it's funny. You were talking about the Swedish Chef. Of course, you like the Swedish Chef. But I used to, I loved. But I loved his hands, and somebody on the show pointed that out. That it freaked them out. Well, he had human hands. Yeah.
Yeah, because it would creep you out because it had people hands.
Yes,
right.
And apparently in some of the earlier Swedish Chef stuff, they were actual hands. It wasn't like the puppeteer put them into Muppet felt gloves.
Right.
And so he said that was
they were just people hands.
Hands, yeah. Okay, you guys, I know the answer to this. Seinfeld or Friends?
Seinfeld.
Yes, okay. And I don't know this, but I'm curious. Ketchup or mustard? I guess relish.
I love every condiment
mustard.
Except mayonnaise. Oh. I don't mind mayo if I make it myself. You like mustard more, but I love all condiments. I am an equal opportunity condiment consumer.
Okay, mustard. And I
salsa or salsa?
Salsa. I think people just like to say salsa. people just like to say it. You guys are the best. I'm out of time, but I could do this for hours. I can't wait to hang out with you guys.
We had so much fun. Thank
likewise.
You so much for having us.
Thanks, guys. I will see you very soon.
Super geeked for you.
Oh, likewise.
Yeah, we'll see you soon, man.
Thank you for my mother's pride.
Give Wendy my love.
Bye,
Christian.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
So that happened. Oof. Is that too thick, my accent? Because... hers is it's thicker than I remember.
It's not that.
No, it's not that. But like my mom.
That sounds
it's too
like Chicago.
Too Chicago, too Wisconsin. But hers, there's a parallel between upstate New York.
I thought she was from Rochester when she was talking.
Close.
She has a upstate New York vibe.
That's where our family's from.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you picked up. But it is close enough so that it's probably the same, similar.
No, not really. Like, it's a hybrid. So she's from born in Cape Cod, that area. Eastern Massachusetts,
yeah,
but then moved to like Westchester area, right? Like,
oh, no, I thought upstate New York. That's where.
But that's not that far upstate.
Oh, the really?
No, it's like a couple hours.
It's not.
It's not like 6 hours up like Rochester.
It's pretty far. Adirondacks is north of the Catskills, so it's at least 2 hours, three
but I
hours.
I thought she was, we should know this. I thought she was, I thought she spent her formative years in Westchester area.
Oh. Why do I not know that?
Poconos?
I thought the Poconos.
Oh, God.
But Poconos is not Westchester.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, shit. Anyway, I'm pretty sure her act. Well, then how do you explain ma'am when she says, like, that's an act? That's an upstate New York act.
It is.
And she reminds me a lot of our cousin Carolyn.
Yeah. She sure does. Okay. That'll be interesting to six people.
Maybe. okay. Yeah, she was, she's very, you know, she's a great talker.
Yes, she is.
And which sometimes can be a little tough to navigate because I don't, it's hard to, she said so many things I wanted to comment on or kind of like, you know.
Well, she made your job a lot easier.
She sure did.
You didn't have to pivot anywhere. You didn't have to.
No, I just went along for the ride.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like.
Which is nice.
It's nice. I clung on to her, coattails.
She talked so much. It's like she didn't take a breath the first 10 minutes.
Well.
She had a lot to say.
Yes. Well, she had a lot
to say. She's an amazing talker.
Yes. Yes. And she's had a show. I mean, she's been talking for, God, professionally for 20 years.
It makes sense. She has her own show.
Yeah, of course it does.
She's used to talking.
Yeah, and she also, like, she's been with her husband in this space she talked about for, you know, a year. And so that also felt like it made sense. Like, if I just heard about this interview, like, wait, what do you mean the husband joined? But it happened so organically.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, super nice. And I actually really enjoyed talking to them. I liked seeing the both of them interact. You can tell a lot about somebody like Rachel by just how she interacts with somebody that close to her. And that was nice.
They ping pong.
Yes, yes. They had a very easy flow with one another.
Hmm. When she was describing her injuries, I almost had to turn it off in the beginning. And it was
you
the
did
very
turn
beginning.
It off. You stopped it.
I almost had to turn it off for good. I thought,
oh, yeah, you did. You said.
I had to ask you how much longer this conversation was going to continue because if it lasted another 30 seconds, I didn't think I could do it.
Yeah. Because you get squeamish. I mean, I was getting that way when I heard
squeamish
it.
Squeamish is an understatement.
Queasy.
When she was talking about, I'm just thinking you also, about it now.
I see it.
On my arms standing up.
Yep. Goosebumps. Not in a good way. Not in like an erotic.
No, I don't have erotic goosebumps. Thanks for pointing that out. When she was talking about her ripping off her, the fingers coming off is really gross. But for me, the fingernails coming off
is the thing
that gets me.
I don't know if you've ever.
It like cuts to my core.
I know. My stomach. I don't know if you've ever done like a deep dive, like I've gone down like a Wikipedia hole about some of the martyrs, like some of the.
No, and I won't.
I know. Well, some of the North American ones, you know, when they were captured by.
I don't want to talk about
okay,
it.
Okay,
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because. Yeah, nail issues, finger and toenail issues. That's my kryptonite.
I mean,
I have a lot of kryptonite.
You cats.
It's so arrogant for someone who is not even close to being Superman saying like, "This is my kryptonite." Like, there's one thing.
Also, that like
without this,
you'd be yes. If it weren't for this like squeamishness about nails coming off, I'd be able to save the world. I'd be. My kryptonite. People use that a lot. I never realized how arrogant that
is. It is. I haven't either. You don't both have to realize arrogant.
Or Achilles heel. That's an arrogant thing to be like, my Achilles heel. Otherwise, I'm like Achilles. Like the one part about me that like is vulnerable is my
Bow.
Who does that remind you of? Go.
Hannah Brown.
Yeah.
Bachelor
Nationals might be reminded of her too.
That's, of course, yeah. Achilles heel.
Yeah.
But that's from a very specific thing.
I know that
comes from a specific
thing.
Achilles, whereas
he was struck on the. But
Kryptonite and Superman, he's a fictional character.
Right. That's true.
Do you think she actually remembered mom's name?
I wondered that.
Or do you think she did a little quick Google search before the interview, being the professional that she is?
Either way, it's cool.
Yes.
That she
I
took
agree.
The time to do that. If she remembered it, amazing memory. I wouldn't be at all insulted. I don't think our mother should. She's listening, by the way, so we can just talk to her directly. She's definitely listening. Mom, I don't think you should be insulted if she didn't remember your name, not because you didn't make an impression, but because she meets so many people. How the fuck could she remember that?
Well,
I'm surprised she remembered my name, and I was on the show.
Here's the argument. Mom is both very memorable as a person, I think, and she has a pretty unique name. Wendy is a pretty memorable name.
It is, even though I know.
Do you know where Wendy started? The name?
Yes, Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I always thought Wendy had, there had been Wendy's for generations. But then you think about like, I'm trying to imagine like a medieval Wendy. It just doesn't go. It just doesn't fit.
I wonder if he thought of the name.
Gwendolyn?
J.M. Barrie thought of the name because it sounded like windy. And there was something ethereal and fluid about windy. That character. How do you think he settled on Wendy for that character?
By the way, great pull to J.M. Barrie to say so casually. Yeah, it would have taken me a second. I don't know. That's a good question. Or did it come from Gwendolyn?
Oh.
I always thought it came from Gwendolyn.
You might be right.
Gwen. I used to love that name. Gwen. Why? Gwen Stacy? That's from Spider-Man. Okay. That's a good question. We should have J.M. Barrie on. Too soon. What was J.M. Barrie's deal? Was he like a pervert? No. Isn't there something about like, or am I thinking of Peter Pan complex? Like people with, was he?
I wonder if anyone said that sentence today in this country. What's the deal with J.M. Barrie? What is he, a pervert?
In this country today?
By the way, you just turned off a lot of Barrie heads listening.
Yeah. Oh, Barrie men and Barrie women. Who said that recently? They were like, I don't like fruit. Oh, Sal. I like berries, though.
Berries.
I love Sal's accent.
I agree with her husband about pork. John.
Pork is a gross
word. About
pork
being the best meat. It is a gross word.
Yeah, pork.
Pork.
Ugh.
But you know, think about this. Mm-hmm. All the meats are gross.
Yeah.
Beef.
Salami.
Beef. Mutton.
Yes. Beef is a gross word, too. You're right. Chicken's not a bad word.
Chicken.
I said it grossly, but
Pork's the best, though. If I had to eliminate, or I'd rather if I had to save one meat, I would definitely save pork over beef and chicken.
Yeah,
lamb.
You're a porker from way back, an old porker. You know,
But good news about the Impossible Burgers.
Great news. Yeah. I know. I was going to say, like, this is stuff that I keep thinking what Jane Goodall said and how important that is to not eat.
I aspire to eating less meat.
How important that is.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid. Yeah, I know. And yeah, I in fact, pork is an ingredient. One of the things, I think the thing that would be hardest will be hardest for me to give up, which is soup dumplings.
Mm.
Xiaolongbao. I said it wrong. Yeah. I was so confident about it. And shout out to Excellent Dumpling House in New York. If you are looking for really delicious dumplings, they have all different types, vegetarian too.
That's a great place.
Great place.
But I think the technology behind Impossible Burgers is getting better and better. And I bet in a few years, or hopefully sooner, they're going to master how to replicate bacon and like other pork related foods in such a wonderful way.
Who's saying that? Somebody with real authority, somebody who like an expert was saying that, that will happen for sure. I forget who, but it's somebody like not us who has authority was saying it. So I look forward to that.
That could save the world.
It could.
The companies designing these foods are going to be the heroes.
For sure. I mean, if our civilization is studying.
Or the Shiros.
Yes. Yes. I didn't mean to laugh, but Shiro's is that you can that's not a thing that you can't say heroes, right?
I think you can say heroes, but you can also say Shiro's.
Yeah, I get, but heroes, he is not implied. That's not a part of hero. I mean, I know the letters are, but hero doesn't
imply masculinity.
No,
I know.
Okay,
but Shiro has become a popular word to say.
It has.
I see that a lot on social media.
You do?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah. All right. Well. Okay.
Was that your stomach?
Yeah.
Are you hungry for Impossible Bacon?
That I hate to say this, but that wasn't a hungry noise.
Oh, okay. Say no more.
Okay. Well, also, speaking of food, you made a delicious pasta last night that I think Rachel Ray would have been proud of.
From the Jamie Oliver cookbook.
Yes. I wonder how she felt about me mentioning Jamie.
That my friend Liz turned me on to.
It's
a great book.
It is a great book. And I really like Jamie Oliver. Not to talk about him on Rachel's episode.
Too late.
I know, with her. Well, how would you feel though? I mean, I don't think I would be bothered if like someone on this podcast was like, you know what, in fact, this happened before. They're like, I really like this podcast. I wouldn't be like insulted by that or an actor. Yeah.
It would be weird if they only wanted to talk about Jake Gyllenhaal the whole time.
That's true. Oh, I think it'd be kind of funny too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
She really shamed you for not seeing Network.
Oh my God.
I've never seen Network either. I've always wanted to. I should. I know I should. It's supposed to be amazing. But she really let you have it.
Wait, let me do an impression of her and you tell me that you haven't seen Network.
I've actually never seen Network.
What?
I know.
Oh my God, I can't do it. I can't do it justice. It's hard to commit to. She has so much energy that there are times where she was like, I noticed when I re-listened to it. Where she was like catching her breath. She was like doing this really interesting monologues and like stuff that, but there was so much information.
She does have a lot of energy. I wonder how much of that is due to her clean, good diet.
Maybe.
I bet. People with that level of energy have to eat really good food, don't you think?
Well, it's like Maggie Q. I've been doing this. It's not an
friend
ad.
Friend
of the show, friend of ours. Activate You, this probiotic mixture that her commercial was so, I saw her commercial was so compelling. She's been telling me to get it for years, but.
Because she knows about your issues?
Yeah, you know, I get a little bloaty and I can have some gas and who can't? I'm not ashamed. I'm a little ashamed of it. But yeah, and by the way, it's been helping a lot.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, but I also feel like there's this thing called mito vitality, and it's like it's a thing for your mitochondria and your cells, and I don't know what else is in it, but it's been given. I've felt a lot more. Have I seen more energy?
I don't know what else is in it, but I take it.
but I trust Maggie Q. Yeah. Have I seen more energetic?
Yeah, maybe.
I think I have.
Maybe. I mean, now you seem energetic.
Well, yeah. I'm sure subconsciously I'm like, okay.
You've also had four cups of coffee.
That's true.
Let's read a letter.
Okay.
Behind you.
Okay. That's true. I have had so much coffee. What am I talking about? But I think it's helped with some of my digestion. Normally, the pasta would just, I'd have a hard time with that. And I fucking love pasta. Mm. Gotta be hard to give up pasta.
Maybe you should go to Tuscany with her.
I want to.
Let's read this letter.
Okay. But I wouldn't want to feel like a third wheel.
Which you would be.
Yeah. Okay. Katie, this is from Katie Berkey. Subject, would you rathers? Great. Dear Justin and Christian, With it being Women's History Month, I stumbled across this list of real-life would-you-rathers that women face here. What? That's so awesome. It's in McSweeney's. And wanted to post some of them to you for discussion. Thank you, Katie. What a great idea. Okay. And happy Women's History Month. One, would you rather have a career or a family?
Career or family?
Wow.
So these are geared for women. Is that the idea?
Yeah, I don't know.
But
yeah,
we can answer them.
We can answer them. And I don't know why it should. I guess now the times have, like,
right.
changed to the point where it really is gender neutral.
It used to be a decision for
yes,
women.
Yes, isn't that crazy? Yeah. As so much has changed.
Yep. For me personally, uh-huh. I would say a career or family.
It's hard to answer because
does a family mean like you can't have a brother?
Oh.
Or is it like kids?
I think they mean like nuclear family.
Uh huh. I would rather.
It's hard to say. I love the idea of having a family. I'd want a family, but I.
But you need a career to have the family.
Not necessarily.
You can't pay for them. Yeah, you do.
You could just be like inherit a bunch of money.
All right, but what if you don't have wealthy relatives?
Yeah.
I think you need to have the career. I
just think it's.
I would pick career. You'd have to. I'd have to.
I also have no frame. I mean, I don't really have enough of frame of reference because I don't have a family of my own. As much as I'd like one, my career has brought me so much joy, and it's hard to imagine my life without that.
Agreed.
But of course, I can imagine my life without a family because I don't have one.
You have me.
No, I know. I mean, I meant like a wife and
imagine
kids.
Imagine you, me and you.
God. Number two, would you rather be perceived as likable or competent? This is easy for me. Because I'm not competent. I'm sure I'm not.
You're very competent at certain things.
Some things, yeah, but I'm sure I'm not. That's.
So it's the question is, would you rather be perceived
as likable or competent?
Oh, likable. I don't care if people think I'm competent.
Likable, for
like,
sure.
Competence is more important for me as an individual.
In your life.
But in terms of people knowing it.
Socially.
Or thinking of me as competent, I don't care.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd much rather be seen as competent or likable.
Yeah, well, Freudian. Three, would you rather be told to smile or to calm down? Smile.
I know that's the thing that I've heard that from
calm down.
Women I know that that's like a pretty consistent thing in their lives.
To hear that?
Yeah. Hey, cheer up, smile.
You know, I'd rather
so condescending.
I hate being told to calm down only because I usually there's usually a need to say that to me when I'm being like gaslit by something. You know, that's something that triggers me when I am not being heard or seen in a way, you know, and so somebody like doesn't acknowledge what I've said, and I keep having to repeat it or say it in different ways or impress upon them an idea, and then they say, "Hey, calm down."
Yeah. So you went to a different place. Than I did.
Really? Okay.
But that makes sense for you.
Yeah. It is annoying to be told, "Hey, smile." Have you ever been told that by a stranger? I've had that happen where.
I'm sure. I don't recall.
Smile.
That.
I've also seen guys do that to women, which is gross. When like as a way to hit on them, like. Hey, baby, smile.
I know.
You know that. Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
Imagine saying that to a stranger.
It's
smile.
Crazy. I would rather. I come at it from a slightly different angle. I would rather be told to calm down.
Why?
Because I think I aspire to be to come across more jovially than I do.
And
I think I'm naturally more predisposed to being like. Kind of
calm.
Yeah,
that's true.
And so I aspire to being.
That's true.
To having more energy. And so if someone tells me to calm down, I think that means that I'm
you're
doing
need
more
of,
that. I'm in need of calming
down. Yeah, yeah. So you would trust them. You'd be like, oh, okay, I will. It would be like better advice.
Right, exactly. It would be more helpful advice.
Right. Huh. Those are good.
Smile. I can't imagine someone.
You've never happened. Hey, smile. You should smile more. It's like. How do you know how I express? But I've heard it. I've heard it said.
Here's the reason to pick that one. Because telling someone to smile versus – or being told to smile versus being told to calm down, one is more extreme. You know, someone saying, hey, you should smile more is – it's such an innocuous thing and it doesn't make a difference. But someone – if someone tells you to
that's
calm
true.
Down,
that means
potentially you're like making a scene.
Oh, right.
And you're hysterical in
that's
some
right.
way.
By the
There's
way,
something
should,
more like dangerous about
well,
that option.
I should clarify that's not the context that I was thinking.
No, I know.
But yeah, you're right. Interesting.
To think about.
Thanks, Katie. Those are interesting. And I can understand, too, just from to put myself in women's shoes, I can understand how frustrating that must be. Either one of those frustrating.
I've never told a woman to smile.
Either have I.
But I have said calm down.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Which I'm not proud of.
Yeah, calm down. They both are quite patronizing and frustrating. Anyway, thank you, Katie, for making us see that. Think differently about that. Okay, thank you again. This is back to Katie. Thank you again for all that you are doing to keep us. I'm sure she didn't mean thank you again, but I had just said thank you to her, so I felt the need to.
I think she meant thank you again.
Yes, she did.
I think she meant to put the emphasis on the again.
Not to mansplain during Women's History Month.
I'm just kidding. I know it's an emphasis.
Thank you again for all that you are doing to keep us enlightened and entertained. I hope my three boys, 6, 3, and 7 months, are as close to one another as the long boys appear to be as they get older. We're about that same spread.
Yeah. Ours is like...
Damien's
two years older than you, and you're 3 years older than me.
2.5, really.
You're 3, like 3 1/4 older than me. Who cares?
Okay. Thanks, Katie. Back to Katie. Best wishes, Katie. Be Fort Myers, Florida. We were just in your neck of the woods.
Oh, I miss it.
Beautiful woods. In your neck of the tropical woods. Thanks for that. And thanks to everyone. Thanks to Rachel, John, everyone who's been listening. Wendy.
This is a good wrap-up so far.
Really? Oh, great. Okay, I'm going to just go.
Wait, one more thing. Sorry.
Well,
it's important. If you guys want to write in to the show, our email address is
lifeisshort@wondery.com.
Oh, that was efficient.
And I'm going to continue with the efficiency by just wrapping up in a way that I'm not really prone to doing, but I'm going to do it now because I want to impress Rachel as well because she's still got stuff like
hurry.
This. Okay.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long. It's co-hosted by you and produced by you,
Christian Long.
It's also produced by Megan
Monaco,
as well as senior producer Michelle
Mish
Lands, audio engineer, and who gets their hands on that? None other than
Sergio Enriquez.
We have executive producer job, which goes to
Marshall Louis.
And all of us work for a company that rhymes with blunder.
Wondery.
I was going to give it to you, but I realized that you gave it to me, so you must have it.
What?
Those little CDs and the white stuff.
CDs?
They were your commercials.
Oh, your DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, DVDs.
In one of the, I don't know which one now, the big one, I think. You were a guest of... cook, the Italian girl.
Oh, you mean a video.
Rachel Ray?
Rachel Ray.
You mean a video.
And
yes.
And she was on it.
I don't know the words. And you dragged your mother on.
She was happy.
I saved all those.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't
she
have a...
She made you drag her on.
She was excited, to be honest. She likes Rachel Ray.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.